Hi, I'm Life Coach Mama, a life coach for moms who want to find more joy and more peace in their marriage and in their parenting. My husband and I have 8 kids. We love having a big family and often hear the phrase, "You've got your hands full." Come and join me as I interview moms of all ages and in all stages from around the world. Be encouraged, find inspiration and confidence that you can handle another kid. And if this is a topic that interests you, please check out my book, Have Another Kid Without Losing It, available for purchase today on Amazon by Lauren Loboda. Okay, welcome back to our podcast, Got Your Hands Full. Today, listeners, I have an old friend who is joining us from another country, also on the other side of the world. And I met Asaka over 5 years ago. And we're friends in where I live, and her family had to move back to Japan. And so welcome, Asaka.
Hello.
How are you?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, so good to talk to you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being willing to come. I'm so excited to hear your stories about your family and your culture and also your experience living here in the United States. So it's evening here and morning over there for you.
Yeah.
Thank you for making time.
Completely opposite, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, we're 12 hours difference. So Asaka, why don't you tell us about where you were born and raised and if you had any brothers or sisters?
Yeah. I was born in Japan and then I grew up in Kanazawa, which is like 7 hours drive from Tokyo. So I grew up in countryside.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so I didn't have like, our city is really small and then we had like old temple and a lot of shrines. It's like small Kyoto. And so we had a lot of visitors from from different country. And then, and then we didn't have so much stress from the people and then like some noises or anything like that. It's really peaceful and it's like Ohio. Like we had a lot of green and then temple shrines and then some tourists and it, yeah, it's really nice.
Wow.
And I had and I had older sister, that's it, and I had one dog.
And a dog. I didn't know about the dog.
Yeah. We had a Japanese dog called Shizuka.
And now you and your husband have 3 kids, which in some places in the world, I think, especially Japan, that's a lot, right? So are you considered a big family?
Yeah. So in Japan, I found out there's 45%, there's only one kid. And 40%, it's 2 kids. And 14% is over 3.
So you are in the minority.
But it's not that it didn't say about the couple doesn't have any kids who are married. So I think it's like, I'm not sure, but it's like 10 or 20% they're married couple but they don't have kids.
Okay.
They prefer not to have kids, especially in Tokyo. They're like a lot of people don't have the kids. And if they have it, it's only one. And then 2, it's like a lot.
I was watching a Netflix documentary and the people were in Japan and I'm pretty sure Tokyo, where they were married and they chose not to have children, but they had dogs. Like that was a big thing with like strollers and a lot of other countries, but they chose to do this interview of the documentary in Tokyo and the people had pets in strollers and pets like out to eat in restaurants. Is that, you've seen that? Okay.
Yeah, I've seen that. A lot of young people, they have strollers. I thought they have a baby, but they're like a chihuahua, small dogs inside. I was like, what is this? And then they're like wearing some small like choo-choo or some flower patterned dress on the chihuahua. And I was
like, oh no, they're wearing dresses?
Yeah, they wear the dresses.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
And some older people dogs too. Like they, you know, their kids all gone.
Sure.
And then, you know, they're independent from their mom and dad, and then they have that dog instead of the kids, you know.
Right.
I understand that.
Uh-huh.
But quite a lot of young people, young couples, they have like, yeah, like really tiny dogs as a pet or as a, I don't know, as their kid. I'm not sure. But yeah, I've seen that.
I mean, we have a dog, so I get wanting a pet, but like in the stroller with the outfit, and it's interesting. So I had mentioned that you lived here in Ohio for a little bit.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what it was like, how that was different? I know you grew up, it was a little more rural, but still I know you're not in Tokyo, but you're next to Tokyo. So
Yeah.
It's so different, the amount of space and the amount of kids and cars and driving and everything.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just more, we have like a fantastic time in US, you know. It was really awesome. The house is huge. It's like a castle for us. And the big front yard and a backyard and beautiful flowers. And you know, it's so much freedom. We can yell to the kids a lot, which I shouldn't do very much, but I can yell my kids. I don't need to care about the neighbors very much.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes kids just running outside without any clothes, that's okay. And a barefoot, that's fine, right? And it's like, and then like, planting the vegetables and like, it's so healthy and it was so wonderful. It's because in Tokyo and Saitama, which is, we live like 10 minutes away from Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And that we live in their apartment. It's really small. Everybody said this apartment is big to compare to the other people, but it's so small. Like it's like a bunny's cage to compare to American house we used to live, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, so when was it? A week later, we moved into this apartment. Mm-hmm. We got a complaint from the family who lives below us. They're saying, your kids are noisy. Can you please calm down? Or like, we can hear you guys walking or running. So can you just like be careful about your kids or something like that? And they came at like 8 o'clock in the morning, complained to us. Oh. And I'm like, what? And then they said they used to have 3 kids. That's a lot, you know? And then they all moved up. They just went to college or high school. They're all like quiet already. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, they forgot about that.
Small children. Probably and forgot it.
They forgot.
We lived in Ohio with the big yard and we're used to being loud with the Americans.
Yeah. Because we were saying like, you know, that was like really huge and colorful, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then like all of a sudden we went to the bunny cage. So that was kind of big difference.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, life is different. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the way people think in US is more like they have more options. Everybody has like different ideas. We respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can say my opinion. Mm-hmm. But in US, in Japan, I don't know. It's like if we say something different opinion in front of people, they will look at us something weird way. So mm-hmm. I have to kind of follow major ideas or major opinions some people have.
Sure.
So yeah. That's
more of a value of like conformity and.
Yeah. Because Japan is a small island.
Okay.
So very more conservative, or we feel like more safe to be with somebody's idea, or like being different is a little bit, you know, scary. Sure. Beautiful Japanese people, like that. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. So
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And I want to tell everybody that we first met and when our sons were in kindergarten together. Yeah. So our boys were 10, but when they were just 5 turning 6, they were in the same kindergarten class. And it was so neat to meet you.
Yeah, that was great. That's so nice.
But my favorite story, I'm going to tell my version and you can add anything you want to it. But one of my favorite stories actually to tell of all time, but my favorite story about your family is when you came over or we somehow met, maybe it was at the park and it was right after the lockdown. So the kids left school in the spring and everybody went home and then summer started. You were saying like, what are we going to do? Because there's no programs for the kids. And I said, oh no, they're still doing baseball. And you said, oh, we don't know how to play baseball. And I said, well, you hit the ball and then you run like, and it's red. It's not a big deal, Asaka. And you're like, no, no. Like my son does not know the rules. And I said, well, then just send him over. So you came, walked over to our house. And I remember Ado in the front yard. I said to your son, I said, Ado, it's not that hard. Here's a bat. I'm going to pitch to you. Yeah. And you swing. Hit it and it went over the fence towards the street. So it was a pretty good hit. And I was like, I think you're fine. And I'm like, but now you run. Because he just knew, he didn't really, like, you weren't kidding. I thought you were exaggerating. I was like, no, he really didn't know. So he hits the ball. And I said, okay, now you run, Ado. And he started to run left, like he ran to third base. And Augie and I, my son, were like, no, first base. So then we had explained how to run the bases. And I said, as long as you can run, you'll be fine. And you were like, well, he can run. He plays soccer. So he came in his soccer cleats and his soccer outfit.
Oh,
And you're like, what do I do? I said, well, he just needs a bat and helmet, but don't worry about it. So somehow, like, you got a bat, you bought him a helmet.
Yeah.
And then he showed up to like a game because they had already started the team. And I said, we just brought a new member. And then here he's this heavy hitter. He ended up being one of the best players on the team. He was, and they made it to the championship game. No. They lost, they were number 2 out of all the teams. They lost that last game, but that was like a movie. That summer was awesome.
The coaches are also so nice. Don't you remember? He was so nice.
Oh, I love that. One of the best coach. He was so patient, so positive. Mm. And I love how Augie would just ask Ado or Ado would ask Augie, I think almost every day in the summer, because you're right, everything was canceled and people were still afraid to get together and some people weren't doing play dates. So it was like every day, do you want to practice baseball? So they'd get on the bikes. And now both boys are playing baseball still.
That's awesome. Because Ado was not doing baseball at all. He was always into soccer. Uh-huh. And then he's not into soccer at all. He forgets soccer. And then they're all soccer uniform and then all the stars, cards what he had before, but it's gone somewhere and it's all changed to baseball. He's into Ohtani, you know, that's Japanese guy who plays in America. He talks about him and a lot of, like Cleveland, they changed the name, right?
Right. They're not the Indians anymore.
Right. He talks about it, and of course he talks about Augie all the time because he want to throw a ball, he want to catch with him, you know.
That's their dream, to play together. So one of my other good memories of you is I remember I invited you to my house. The boys were playing and having play dates, and my husband and I, we love sushi. So we meet our new friend in Japan, and we're like, can you teach us how to make sushi? And you're like, I don't know how. We're like, we have the stereotype that you must make sushi every night. And I had sushi in the house and I gave some to Ado and he was so excited. And,
thank you.
And we were like, Asaka, you must be good at making sushi. And you're like, no, actually, someone got me a job at a restaurant when I was a teenager and I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Because the first day, the owner said, you Japanese, you have to make sushi. You're the chef. So I'm like, what? I'm Japanese, but I don't know how to make sushi, you know?
And that was in Europe? Where was that?
No, in Scotland.
Scotland.
Because I used to live in, Scotland. Yeah.
Which is such a stereotype. That's like, oh, you're American, make pizza. Or, I don't know. I don't know what the American food would be, but I guess hamburgers and hot dogs are pretty
hamburger.
Easy. Just because we're American doesn't mean we can do all the American things. But
yeah.
But anyways, so back to your life in Japan. So tell us, so like, how do people respond to you having three kids? I guess like in the culture, if they're like they're quieter, they don't really maybe give their opinion as much. Maybe you don't hear, but do they say anything about it?
It's more expensive, firstly, right? Mm-hmm. And then we can't get support from government or anything like that. So I'm not sure in US, but in Japan, like if we send the kids to the daycare, so second kids will be half price and third kids will be free.
Oh, well, that's a good reason to have more.
That's okay. That's it though. That's it. We cannot get any supports regularly for the kids, for the family who has more kids. And then you know, the kid, the parents who has more kids, they are more relaxed, you know?
Yeah.
And then we kind of trust the kids. Trust kids, and then we let them do it by themselves.
Yeah.
Because in Japan, everybody, a neighborhood have to go to school together and then come back home together with the same people. And they all have to line up perfectly, just straight line together. They cannot talk. They just go straight together and then come back straightly together. And then there's no school buses because it's only like, it's Japan's kind of safe. So even
when they line up or they can't talk from the school to the house.
Yeah, that's right.
What?
Everybody has to be straight, very straight.
The whole walk, they can't talk.
Yeah.
Who's watching them?
And some of the volunteering sometimes watches, but mostly no teachers, nobody watching them.
But they don't talk. Wow.
They cannot, especially first grade, because if the teacher said first grade, if first grader start to talk, they will be wild. So they want them to be quiet. And it calmed down all the time.
I can't picture this in my life, but okay.
Right? Isn't it crazy?
I mean, so everybody has to, different. Yeah.
No, everybody have to line up really straight, perfectly straight. The parents who has only one kid, they have so much onto that one kid. So they want to make the kid to be perfect, or they want to do something really nice to one kid, you know? So they do so many things for this only one kid. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If I have 3, 7, 8, you know, we can't do it all the time, you know.
What about like your grandmother, or like, do you know any stories of aunts that had big families, or has it been quite a few generations?
Yeah. So after World War II, the Japanese government forced the family to have over 5 or 6 kids. Because all the, you know, I think that's hard. So, after the World War II, the parents, they had a really big family.
Okay.
So my grandfather had 6 kids. Because all the young people, they all gone for the war, you know. So they have to have it. So a lot of people have 5 or 6 or 7 sometimes, and they marry like when they are 16 or 70 years old. But recently there's more choices, and people think like having kids is expensive, you know, so they don't want to have kids. And then after the pandemic, people lost the job, so they can't afford to have, you know, kids. And then we don't go to church, you know, we are Buddhist, and a lot of people don't believe religion at all, even they are Buddhist, and a Buddhist doesn't need to go to church, or we don't believe those anything really. So a lot of kids, you know, Christian people tend to have more kids, right? Because Christianity, and you know, isn't it?
Yeah, it depends on like their belief about it, but yes.
Yeah, so, and they don't think like having kids is precious, or they don't think in that way. It's kind of like trend, like not having kids, even they're married.
But they still get married.
yeah, they get married, okay, but prefer not to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, yeah, there's so many older people in Japan. So they cannot support older people with the, you know, because there are not many young people in Japan. So that's the really big problem right now in Japan, because most people are old, over 60, 70.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that, like, you're glad to be back in Japan for? Like, anything you missed, or, like, anything that's easier, or?
So firstly, I haven't seen my parents yet because of the pandemic still going on in Japan. I don't know. I think it's a little bit crazy. But I can talk to my mom more. Mm-hmm. And then Daisuke, my husband's parents, they are always welcoming my family. So mm-hmm. we can, and they live only 2 hours drive from my place. So we can sometimes go to visit them when we don't have the baseball game. And that's a really good thing. And they live in the countryside, so yeah, it's more relaxed. And
mm-hmm.
yeah. And then, yeah. So if I think that city people don't have many kids, but in the, if we go countryside, they have more family have more kids.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 3 kids is not that, it's not weird for countryside.
Okay.
We lived in US for only for 5 years, but all the, we had a really fantastic time, really, really. Yeah. And in Kuta, at the kindergarten, the teacher said being different, precious or something like that. Edo was saying, somebody said that Edo's name is, you know, really unique. It's different from American name. So some at the school buses, somebody said your name is weird or something like that. And then when Edo was using chopstick at the lunchtime, somebody made fun of him that he was saying, I just remember when he was in the kindergarten. But, you know, the teacher was saying being different is fantastic or something like that to everybody. And then so Eito was really like, really like proud of himself a little bit. But everybody might have those kind of, you know, memory at school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know, in Japan, that's all Japanese people, all same. And there's no like black or white or like, you know, there's no, it's not diverse at all. It's only Asian Japanese kid.
Mm-hmm.
Being different seems to be a little bit hard to live.
Asaka, so hopefully one day I can come there. I would love to see you again. And I know our sons are dreaming about playing baseball together in Japan. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about some exciting things to look forward to, maybe some tour sites?
We want to go back to US, really. That's our dream to go.
But you have to tell me, you have to tell me what's good about Japan. What should I see?
What's good about Japan?
Yeah, like if I go there, what should I see?
Oh, in Japan?
Mm-hmm.
In Japan. Our food is great.
Yeah.
Firstly, food is great and it's cheap.
Mm.
It's not expensive. Yeah. And yeah, we can see like we can see a lot of beautiful sites and like temples, shrines, very there's so many peaceful places we can see.
And I like that there's public transportation. You know, my kids have not done that. And so they would think that was so cool, like buses or any sort of public transportation.
Or the trains. Yeah.
They would love that. Yeah, because we don't do that here. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's true. Yes. Yes.
I have to also say that when I come to Japan, I have to make sure I bring all the kids, or at least a picture of me and all the kids, because Asaka told me if I want to move to Japan, I will be a millionaire, because I will
be a
famous celebrity on a reality TV show, because one has this many kids.
Yeah. Exactly. How many kids do you have, Ron?
So we have 7 at home, and our oldest, who we adopted, makes 8. He's out of the house.
So 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that I found out there's one family who became very famous in Japan. They had 9 kids.
Oh, I gotta have another one. I said to Mark, if you know something happens with work, or you know something happens in the US, we always have the plan Asaka gave us. We moved to Japan and we star in our own reality TV show.
Yes, you'll be super famous. They're just showing, you know, they're just showing what's going, what's happening in daily life, you know? And then Mark is the police officer. It's perfect, you know? And then you have dog and bunnies too. It's perfect. Yeah. It's so funny. It'll be funny. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Such good stories. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, but I look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah.